It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Hey, welcome. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. Hey, we're glad you tuned in. It's a wonderful weekend, and I hope you're getting ready to do a little barbecue. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to be on the airwaves with Jop and Conrad, and of course, doing this show that we've done for about 13 years now coming up on. And we just put this thing together because we're freaks about grilling. We love grilling, and this time of year in particular, you hear everyone talking about a barbecue, a cookout, and those terms are thrown around, you know, quite loosely, but we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about being outside, having good food, and having fun with those you love.
That's right, and everybody's got a backyard that's a little bit different.
Yes.
We chronicled my challenges with the city of Wyoming last year and my next-door neighbor. And so this year, I did it right. And honestly, I sent a plan. I went down. I had a meeting with the city, and they blessed everything that I did or am doing. Because I'm about halfway done. I thought I'd be a little farther along than right now, but I got a deadline. We've got a party that we're hosting in a couple weekends, so this weekend's going to be a lot of construction for me. Hopefully the weather holds, and I'm going to get out. And I just got to build. I've got a bar that was in the previous outdoor area that was kept. It was kind of modular.
A beautiful one.
Right, so I'm going to build a roof over it. This weekend
Nice. Is
what I'm going to do. And it's simple little 4x6 posts and a slanted roof with, you know, metal on the top. But
barbecue shack.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's nothing fancy. Everything's made out of, you
know,
treated
wood. It's not supposed to be, buddy.
Right.
It's not supposed to be.
Exactly.
You know, forget the foo-foo guys. They don't even know how to grill.
Right.
You know, a real barbecue guy has a tin roof, a smoker, and a grill, and a bar.
Right. And the first half of that is done. I got the tin roof on the grill and the smoker.
Do you?
Yes, I do. That's done.
Wow.
And then so I've got to do the other half's a bar.
And but you did that by yourself.
I did.
That's not easy.
Me and a ladder.
That's
right,
not easy
right.
doing those by
but
yourself.
You're right. It wasn't. But I've got her done. And she ain't perfect, but she's what I got. So, but no, it's been a lot of fun, actually. I'm too old and too... office guy to really do a lot of this, but I pick away at it and I get her done.
I don't know, the other one looked pretty cool.
Yeah, this one's gonna too.
You're the only one that sees all the mistakes,
right,
when you make something.
Yeah, right.
And that's why my brother-in-law Paul, he's a plumber lifelong, and he always says that when somebody shows you their job, he says follow their eyes, because their eyes will go to the mistakes.
Yeah.
When they're showing you everything, they'll look at the one thing that's
right.
Good.
Right.
So just don't look at your mistakes.
Right.
Forget about them.
Mistakes. They are what they are right now. It was funny. I was out putting the final touches on it this week, and we got on Wednesday, and we had just a hell of a rainstorm that came in on Wednesday. And it was one of my brief times that I could get out there and get her done. And the grilling station has an area underneath for storage, right? And there, I was putting the doors, installing the doors on that under area. And it was raining so hard, the dog was under the roof, but she was still getting dripped on. She went right in that little storage area and laid down. And I was screwing doors on. I kind of closed her in
there. Okay, when Jop says his dog actually has a dog.
Yeah.
So that's how uppity this guy is.
Right.
His dog has a dog.
Right. Well,
I can't even afford a dog.
Well, you know, it isn't about affording, because I was already spending $40 a month on food. Now it's just 80, that's all. So it's not that big of a deal.
Ooh, that's double the poop, Conrad.
Well, yeah.
That's double the poop right
you
there.
Know,
that's
if
what
I,
I'm
if,
saying.
Just because my wife was out of town this week, so somehow she's got that duty, the duty, right?
Oh.
I don't, that's not my job.
So who was that woman that answered your phone? Well,
right, yeah. But
the dog's dog.
The dog's dog. But so I, trying to be the good husband, went out and cleaned up the yard before she got home on Friday night.
Oh, man.
And boy. I tell you what, it was a I'll just say the number was between 13 and 15 of the piles. But we got them cleaned.
You know what, man?
That's too much information.
You got to move to the country.
Right, yeah.
I'm from the country.
Right. Got a fenced-in backyard, part of the neighbor issues. But so, you know, you got a finite area. You don't want the dogs to get out and run in the city where I live. So long story short is we got a clean yard now. But not a job. There's guys that do this for a living,
man. That's a hell of a story.
I got new respect.
Right there.
I got new respect.
You know, the thing is in the country, you can actually just leave it there. It's fertilized.
I understand.
Well, and you teach your dog to go in the woods.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
When my kids come over, one kid has a little dog, and he's ferocious. It's like a Boston Terrier, and he's a pure fighter. But that little jerk poops right in my front yard. It's like, dude.
Right.
Come yeah. on.
I've got all this land. And you have to poop right on.
We're the grilling guys, and we're going to talk about some stuff.
We're talking about poop.
Poop
right
now. Yeah, right.
Well, okay. So
you never know.
I got to give some love to my brother Jop here. You know, I opened this ghost kitchen in Lowell. It's called Grilling Guys Takeout, and it's kicking my old butt. Let me tell you that.
Wow, it's hard work,
brother. It's a lot of work. But the town loves us.
Yeah,
they're loving on us, and they're coming in.
That's the town of Lowell.
Yep,
is where we're at.
Loving us more and more. But I got shorted Thursday night by two of my girls, and I called. I panicked and started texting at about noon. My wife and Jop, and they both showed up.
Cool.
Saved my keister.
I heard Wednesday was swamped and Thursday was not as...
Yeah,
it's
Thursday,
hard to know.
It is. Thursday, we even went to the New Union Brewery afterwards because we were pretty tuckered out. We still had good volume Thursday, but nothing like... I mean, I was expecting another wave like Wednesday, and it was just decent. But we even went to New Union, and there was like nobody there. You can't predict, you know, people's schedules and... Things
weather.
Coming up or whatever. Yeah. And the weather was gorgeous. I mean, it was just a
might have been everybody was at the water, you know.
So there's a main four corners in Lowell. If you're listening on 99.5 Jethro in Lowell, you'll know this. Those of you that are on other stations that are listening right now, there is a north-south road that comes off of the I-96 highway. It's got a couple names.
Alden Nash.
It's Alden Nash in town. That's the north-south. And then the east-west is M-21 or Fulton. And the Main Street in Lowell, whatever you want to call it.
Those are the four corners.
Right. That's the four corner of the town. You go just south of that one block, you'll see a giant grain elevator on the east side of the road. And on the west side of the road, there's a little road called what?
There's Barry Auto Body, right. And right next to it's Ottawa. It's 501 Ottawa. Take a west turn. It only goes west.
Right.
And go down like two driveways. You'll see a building says Facilities Kitchen. And Sabor Mexicano operates there on the weekend. And they're the ones that gave me the idea because they're just drawing in so many people for takeout. But
you'll see Grilling Guys signs when you get in that area.
Yep.
That'll direct you back to the kitchen. And it's a midweek thing.
It's an odd setup, too, because it's a commercial kitchen, so you come in this hallway and you make your order. It's not like, you know, going into Pietro's or some restaurant. It's not even there anymore.
Right.
It's not like going to Olive Garden.
Right.
But you make your order.
It's a takeout.
Yeah.
Right?
You make your order, and you wait, and then you get really happy because we dish out love in every container.
Fresh barbecue. This is not stuff that's been... sitting there forever. It's fresh, made every day.
Oh yeah.
And you're gonna give us a try. That's all. This is we're pandering at this point, but I think that you're gonna like it. And if you don't, tell us.
That's all. But, Lowell Hickory that we're smoking with.
Yep.
And we're just having some fun and feeding people.
Right. And we're gonna continue.
That's what this show is all about. Having fun and feeding people. That's the takeaway. And you know, that's just what the grilling guys are all about. It's what the takeout is all about. And
generally what you're doing, too. I mean, if you're a listener, is because barbecue, you usually fire that stuff up for a few people. You can do it for your family, certainly. And I hope you all do. But when it's the most fun is you got a bunch of people standing around drinking a beverage, and they're waiting for some really good food. So But anyway, speaking about waiting for some really good food, coming up next, we've got a guy named T-Gid, and he's down in Lafayette, Louisiana, and he's always got a great story. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. Country with a twist, baby. You're listening up. But, hey, it's summer. We're going to have some great weather. I see that our weatherman's going to be predicting 90, our first 90s of the summer next week. So if you don't have your grill fired up, get it going, because next week and the rest of the summer is the time to cook. Barbecue Bob, got one of our friends on the line, right?
T-Gid, what's up, baby?
Bonjour, guys. How y'all been?
Oh, man. T-Gid, we're good. I came down in your neck of the woods. I was in Mobile, Alabama for I got family that's got a summer home down there, and we went down, spent the long weekend on Memorial Day, and I ate some things down there that I want to talk to you about, because it seemed like a hell of a lot of work just to get a little bite or two. We had these crawfish, right? And there's my there's my wife and I, my brother-in-law and his wife and their daughter, five people. They ordered these things steamed up, right? They were already cooked when we bought them, and they ordered 10 damn pounds of these things. It was in a huge bag. And I looked at that, and I'm like, how in hell are we going to eat all that seafood? And as it turns out, it's a little piece of meat about the big around as a pencil and about an inch long. That's all we got out of each one of those things. Do you people really eat these things on a regular basis?
My gosh, yeah, 10 pounds. I don't know. That would have been my share. I don't know what y'all see. Did.
Okay, there you are. There you are. Like I said, I didn't understand this at all. This is my first time. And it tasted okay, but what
see,
a bunch
get,
of work.
You get your workout while you're eating. It's
God,
okay.
I guess.
It's okay.
Well,
yeah.
I tell you what, man, my wife's favorite food, period, out of everything in the world that God put on this earth is ball crabs. And I don't get it, because, I mean, she can sit down at a table and pick at a crab for 2 hours nonstop and not get up, not take a break, and be happy as a lark. And I'm not into that picking. To me, crawfish is, you get a lot more substance for your effort. You know? But there's a secret on how to peel a crawfish.
All right, maybe that's what it was. My niece did most of them. I'm gonna tell you, she's born and raised down there, so she saw me struggling with this stick, and she goes, Uncle Randy, let me do these. And I got a little cup of them after about 15 minutes of her work. And I'm like, honey, that's just a lot of work for 4 or 5 bites.
Well, a lot of people make the mistake. They grab the crawfish head and they just rip the tail off where it connects to the head. And then they start trying to peel off the rings one at a time from the meat end. And pop on. That's not good. What you do is you grab the head with your thumb and your forefinger, and you go back 2 rungs on the tail. And then you push it in, and those 2 rungs collapse, and then you twist it about a quarter turn, and then you pull it out, and then about a quarter of the meat sticking out. You put that in your mouth, you pinch the tail, and it slides right out. I mean, I can eat,
method
I can eat
to
five
the madness.
Pounds of crawfish like that.
I knew you would know. I knew you would know, because I didn't do anything like that. I did exactly what you said not to do, and I'm like, I got these big old hammy hands, and it just wasn't working, man.
He's got big hands but alligator arms.
Right.
Yeah. T-Kid, we want to know a proper boil.
Well, I tell you what, we just leaving crawfish season, and it was huge, and now we're into the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, we're in the shrimp and ball crabs, and the best thing you can do is invite a bunch of friends, get you some beautiful blue points, or you know, about 20 pounds of some beautiful Gulf shrimp.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get a pot of water, a high-pressure crawfish burner, and a propane tank. And it's all about timing.
Yes.
You can overball crabs and you can overball shrimp, and then they're hard as heck to
pick. And that's exactly why I wanted you to lay it out, because there's so many other things that go in. Staging your cook is big in a boy.
My dog got excited talking about ball crabs.
He's a grilling dog. He's heard this talk like this before, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So my dad's technique, which has always been proven to be spot on, is you basically get a pot of water, and you know, some people steam them, some people boil them, and the difference is they're totally submerged, and that's boiling them, and then steaming them, of course, is you just relying on less water and more steam. We always boil. We submerge them to where all the seasoning is getting into the seafood, and that's just our technique. But you start off with a hundred quart pot, and then you fill it about halfway up with water, pure water, and then you get that kind of up to a rolling ball. Then you start adding all your vegetables, your lemons, your potatoes, your garlic, your corn, everything else that you want to eat on the side. And
okay, hold up.
First.
So you don't throw your bag of seasonings in first?
Well, you got to be careful because, you know, like I actually sometimes boil my corn with just salt and butter because, you know, it's like a sponge. So if you put all your seasoning in there, whether it's Obey, or, you know, we got a product down here called Swamp Dust.
Right.
If you can get your hands on it, it's a pre-mixed batch of boiling seafood seasoning, and it's incredible. It's called Swamp Dust.
Wonder
and,
how I could get anyway, some of that.
Do you know anybody that would have some of that?
Well, if you go to CajunGrocer.com, they have everything Cajun, and I guarantee you can get a bag of Swamp Dust.
Say that again. CajunGrocer.com. Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, you got to be careful because if you put the corn in with all that seasoning, it's going to soak it up like a sponge. And, and if you like seasoned corn, you're going to get it.
So that's the timing thing we're talking about right there. That's a big takeaway.
Yeah. So boil your corn first with less seasoning. Take that out. Then do your potatoes, you know, stuff that's going to cook longer, your potatoes. Throw your potatoes in there, and then maybe come back with your mushrooms and your sausage, you know, and just like barbecuing, everything. Not everything takes the same amount of time to get to that proper doneness, and it's the same thing with vegetables. So you just kind of start them off first, the ones that take longer, then add the ones that doesn't take as long, like the mushrooms and all that stuff, garlic and all that, and then you boil all your vegetables first, put that in a separate ice chest, and then let that steam down after you finish. Then for your seafood, the secret is timing. So if you're doing like shrimp and crabs, the crabs, you want to bring your water up to a ball, pour some more seasoning in there because you're going to want a lot more seasoning, a little bit more salt, and then bring your water up to a boil. Once it's to a rolling boil, then drop your seafood in there. It's going to lower the water temperature, and then when it comes back up to, when my dad calls you, you're going to see the steam pouring out the pot. When the steam starts pouring out the pot, 5 minutes, that's it. When it gets to 5 minutes, turn off your water. Turn off your burner and let it just seep a little while. And then test it by ripping one of the claws off the crab. And when that meat just comes out that claw perfectly well intact, you're done. Take it out.
Okay, so you're doing your corn first, and then you're putting potatoes, onions, whatever you want, and you throw a little Swamp Dust in when you're doing that?
Yeah. You want to put some Swamp Dust when you're doing your vegetables, okay, other than the corn.
And then put more dust in when you're doing your seafoods.
And that's why everybody from southern Louisiana knows you don't want to eat the first batch of crawfish. You don't want to eat the first batch of shrimp or crab. You want to eat the last. Because every time you take, if you're doing like multiple baskets of seafood, every time in between you're adding more seasoning. So the first batch probably isn't as spicy. So if somebody's a little bit weak on can't take the spice.
Dude, we never get enough time with you I want to hold you over. Can you do another segment? Because we're not done here, and I hate to give – you're like the greatest Cajun guy. Hold on. We're taking a break. We'll be right back with T-Gid. This is the Grilling Guys.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name since 59.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
You gotta listen to the Grilling Guy show. That's it.
Welcome back. We just didn't get enough of that Cajun love in the last segment, so we made T-Gid hang over. He's not got a hangover, but we made him hang over.
No,
this
he's clean and sober. And this is the beauty of this show is we just do what we want.
Right, but so let's pick that up where we left off. You were defining the it probably is a design. But the interesting comment you made is you don't want to be eat off the first batch that comes out because you're putting a series of
compounding yeah.
in there, and at some point the seasoning, and I'm sure it opens up a little bit after it's been in the water a while, you know, and boiling. And oh man, tell me about that.
I mean, everybody's got different taste buds. So if you got a bunch of people over and they say, look, I can't eat spicy food, you know, so it's like, hey, you eat the first batch, okay? Because as it progresses, and it's just like barbecue competition, dude, you're building flavor profiles, you know, mm-hmm. that's all it is.
Yep.
And so at the end, man, you got all this extra flavor, you know? So if you like spicy batches of seafood, you want to eat the last batch, and that's always the best batch. Now, shrimp is different than crabs. So if you're doing shrimp, what you want to do, again, bring your water to a rolling ball, then drop your shrimp in there. And when the shrimp start to float, cut off your burners, let it seep a little while. And, again, it's all about testing it. It could be 3 minutes, depending on the size of the shrimp. It could be 5 minutes.
Right.
But when that meat easily pulls out that shell by just peeling off two rungs and pinching the tail – it's done. Now, a lot of people, to keep it, if you put it in ice chest, just like a brisket, it'll keep cooking. So then it's going to get tough to peel. So a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll flash cool it off with just throwing a bunch of ice on it after they put it in the ice chest, let it cool down really fast, but it's still warm enough to eat. So many different techniques, but that's the way my dad always told us how to do it. And my daddy was a god, Maz, and he's always right. So
yes,
we're going to run with that.
Yeah, and he's Papa Guidry, a legend in your area. I know.
So, Bob, I got bad news.
What?
This swamp dust is out of stock. It must be as good as T-Gid says it is. I'm on the Cajun grocer. And it says
you call me, I'll get you as much as you want. I know the guy who owns it, and we'll work it
out. I'm pretty sure I don't need to call you because I'm talking to you right now.
I'll call you.
Well, I'm talking about
he's pandering now. He's pandering. So listen, you brought up a great point because Jop is a big shrimp guy. I'm okay with them. When I'm down in the Gulf, I love the heck out of them. But up here, you know, the frozen shrimp don't thrill me. But whether they're frozen or fresh, up, you know, and our folks mostly listening are in the northern part of the country. And, of course, they're all around the world. But varying degrees of freshness, frozen versus fresh, when you're talking shrimp or scallops or whatever you're throwing in that pot, does that have an effect on how you're going to cook it?
Yeah, I mean, it's always best to get fresh. You know that. I mean, just like any cut of meat.
We just can't, man. Seafood. We can get fresh walleye, salmon, all that fresh. Shrimp? Uh-uh.
Right.
Yeah, let me take right. a crack at this real quick, because that was the second food that we had. They got the crawfish, 10 pounds. Then they got 5 pounds of one flavor of shrimp and 5 pounds of the other. And when we were in the store, they had the sign above the shrimp, that because you bought it fresh and then they boiled it for you and we took it out of the store, right? The market, whatever right. it is. It was caught that morning.
Yeah.
Okay. It
yeah,
was that morning shrimp. Huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge difference yeah. in flavor. Yeah, and that I knew how to eat. But the
folks up here, us Yankees, us damn right. Yankees, we're going to probably be dealing with a frozen shrimp, right? So you might not even know what to tell us about that, because you've never had to do it.
Well, I can tell you, some of the best shrimp that you're going to find down here that they boil, you know, that you can pick up at a boil shop around right. here, is not really fresh coming out the Gulf with heads on it. They actually take the it's a good size shrimp, probably like a 12, 20 shrimp, and basically they dehead it and then they cut it down the back and they devein it. So the shell's still on it, but it's opened up straight down the back.
So they got like and a shrimp guillotine down there. Is that what they do?
A what?
A shrimp guillotine.
Yeah, it's called thumb and forefingers. Rip that thing off.
Right.
Boom.
Right. Yeah,
but no, that's some of the best. And out of all the seafood, like I said, my wife's favorite is ball crab, bar none. Mine, if you give me an option of ball crawfish to ball shrimp, I'm eating ball shrimp all day long. I'm like Bubba Gump, man. I love shrimp, man. Shrimp etouffee, shrimp.
I thought you liked crawfish better.
Nah, well, I mean, crawfish is like a delicacy and stuff like that. But man, you give me shrimp. Hey, like I said, that's just my favorite.
Yeah,
you're spoiled. My wife's crab. You know,
you're
down
spoiled.
Here, crawfish. When crawfish come out, I mean, that stuff could be like $100 a 5 pound order. They're still going to eat that. I'm like, y'all crazy. That's too expensive. Because when it first comes out, they're small and they're expensive. But as the season progresses, they get bigger and the price comes down. I'll wait till the end. That's crazy. I ain't paying that much money for crawfish.
So to do a rundown on doing a proper boil, because we got a bunch of Yankees listening, and they're not, they maybe have heard of it, but they've never done it. Give us those basic steps one more time.
Okay, so you start off with a big pot. I don't know. I mean, you have a 30-quart pot.
We'd call it a turkey fryer up here. You know, we'd use our big burner and our big 5-gallon pot.
That's right. So you start out with about half of that full. You get your high pressure burner. You get your ball. You get your water to a rolling ball. You add your seasoning. I mean, I'm talking Swamp Dust. If y'all have others, you know.
Well, now hold on.
There.
Hold on. You said before you do your corn first.
I do my corn first, but I still start with a little bit of seasoning.
Oh, okay.
The
secrets
know, the
are coming out
and
now,
garlic.
Jop. Do you
yeah,
see
I
this?
Thought I heard. Don't put any seasoning in it because it looks like a sponge. Now the sponge
no,
is
no,
good flavor.
So you
sponge.
Want a little bit? You want a little bit of Old Bay or Swamp Dust? Those folks are going to find
you
Old
want,
Bay.
You want
here.
A little bit of flavor, but I tell you, the best to me is just salt and butter. You know. But you know, depending on everybody, what the expectations are, you know, do you want to put a little bit of, just a little
and
bit.
That's a great point because, you know, Old Bay, when you get those flavor bags, which I think is still a great company, it's a great product, and your Swamp Dust might be even better, but for what we can get our hands on easily here, Old Bay's still good, but if you put too much of it in, for a lot of folks who aren't used to it, it just might turn them off to what you would consider real Cajun food, and so your caution is heeded here.
Well, I tell you what, and you know, you just kind of threw my memory back to when I was a kid, man. We before we had all these beautiful companies in Southern Louisiana making their own seasoning for boiling, we used to get those bags. My daddy used to get those bags, and they had them little round things in there. And let me tell you. You got to be careful because them crabs got a lot of sharp angles, and when you bust that bag, you got all them little pellets floating around, and you're going spitting that stuff out.
Love that sound effect.
Yeah, it'll make you grab your breath a little bit.
hey, no. Happy day!
If you just tuned in, it's Father's Day prep show with one of the best fathers I know, and that's T. Gidd from Lafayette, Louisiana. And I always say it wrong, but Louisiana. What's the way to say
it? Yeah, man. Let me tell you, talk about a great Father's Day coming up, man. My son lives in Virginia. He's flying in tonight. My daughter's out. We're having to throw in her a big engagement party. She's getting married in September. I'm having my whole family this Saturday at a big old party. We're going to throw it down like you've never seen before, baby. Mm.
Well, speaking of family, make sure you throw some love to Brother Greg, all right? And, of course, your lovely wife, who is you married up. And just
married up twice, bro.
Tell them, just tell
with
them
the
both.
Same woman.
tell them both. Lots of love from Barbecue Bob, and can't wait to see you again. And maybe I'll bring my bride down there.
Yeah, man. And job next time you're 4 hours from Lafayette, Louisiana, and Mobile, and you don't come see me, we're gonna have a problem.
I got it. I know I blew that.
I'll meet you halfway, bro. I drove to Mobile to go meet you.
Yeah, you're right. I'm remiss I didn't do that. We will do it, though.
So we got to take off, but you're listening to the Grilling Guys. This is T-Gid, somewhat famous also for hanging out with the Duck Dynasty boys, but more famous for just being on our board of directors. T-Gid, I love you. We love you. And you have yourself a great Father's Day, buddy, and say hi to Jennifer.
I will. Happy Father's Day to y'all. Keep up the good work, my boys.
All right, brother.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM Country with a Twist. We're loving it. Hey, thanks for indulging us on that last segment because we held over T-Gid. When we get an opportunity to talk to him, I hope you enjoyed it as much as we do because that guy is a world of knowledge. He's a lifelong Cajun, and Bob had worked with him in a couple of other capacities in past jobs, and he's just a wonderful guy.
The reason
man.
He's on our board of directors, just like Robbie Russell was,
right?
And God rest him in peace, Rob Russell. But those two guys are from the back in the Kansas City days, Barbecue Bob. The what really got me engrossed when I discovered how much I loved to cook food.
Right.
And I always cooked food, but until I got into training in Kansas City and really delved into the low and slow and all this stuff and hung out with guys who are meatheads, just did nothing but barbecue, I didn't know what kind of passion I had for it. And T-Gid is of that vein. Jop got to experience a woman coming into our shop who was talking about another guy that I'm friends with who's a real barbecue guy. And you saw the conviction in her when she said, I just want to see if your brisket's as good as Les's or Len. Sorry. So that is the purity of barbecue. That's the passion.
And it wasn't competitive. She was just curious.
She was letting me know I'm going to judge you based on.
And you know what? Not cocky, but confident. We said, would you please put your legitimate thoughts on Facebook, right? And
give us a review.
You're right. You'll be able to see that on Grilling Guys Takeout as a Facebook page.
She's a young 40-year-old woman who loves brisket.
Right.
And she's got a friend who's over in Drenthe, Michigan, who's got American
He's got a barbecue shop.
American Char.
Right.
And he's a real barbecue guy. There's real barbecue guys, and there's people who do barbecue.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about. So T. Gidd is a real barbecue guy, and his grandpa started the Percy. His grandpa Percy Guidry.
Yeah, there's a southern
the Percy
name for
Guidry.
You.
Oh, the Guidrys go to Louisiana. There's a million of them. They're like Mackey's in Minnesota. He started the Cajun Grill Company, and that Cajun on my deck. That's his design. But those kinds of souls are what builds the culture that right. we're trying to, I guess, propagate in the Michigan, Northern American market.
Yeah,
and
they
what
have,
we do.
They have regional ingredients, but so do we.
Yes.
Right?
And so, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And you do it your way, but we're just trying to share some culture and share some knowledge with people that we consider to be the Obi-Wan Kenobis.
All right. So let's talk about something Michigan, some tater salad.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Boy. Okay. So our newest board of directors member from Four Chefs, Andy Schultz, the wonderful kid. He's Maggie's age, so it makes him 33. His dad was Bob Schultz, Chef Schultz from the Culinary Institute, Sekia Culinary Institute, who's now over in France training. I don't know if he's training them or they're training him.
Yeah. They're having conversations,
yeah,
I'm sure, right?
I'm sure
over
he,
some really good
I'm
food.
I'm sure he is a disgusting pig. But either way, Andy has just been a godsend for me because he's done catering now for 10 years. And, you know, in terms of the catering side, I'm still trying to find my sea legs. But this kid has taught me a ton, and I told him I had to feed the Lowell lacrosse team and I had to make potato salad for 140 people.
Right.
That was a job.
That's a few sacks of taters.
He gave me a couple of good pointers, and one of the takeaways was boil your potatoes and then refrigerate them for a day. Well, what I would add to that is sort your potatoes out so that you have small ones and big ones, so that the big ones can cook longer. You
right.
don't want the small ones
similar
to
a kebab.
You don't want
right?
that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
How we preach about the skew. This, you don't want to boil those little ones too long because they're
right.
a mess.
Right.
And so if you're going to do potato salad, especially a
for 140,
no,
sort
but,
your taters.
But let's say you're doing
that's
it
your,
for
that's your tip of the day.
Say you're doing it for 20, it's still a lot of potato salad.
Right.
And the other thing is, you chill it for a day, and then you make your salad, and then you chill that for a day. And that really made a difference.
Yeah, my mom always said potato salad was better the second day than it was the first. And the seasonings there, open up. And,
there's truth to Mama Jap.
Yeah, well, you know, she fed five boys. She knew how she
God
was doing
bless
it.
Bless her.
And there wasn't any of us that came away skinny. So it's all good.
Or normal.
Right, yeah. Well, there's that, too. I got what was left of the DNA. I was the fifth of five, so that's all
it's
I can.
Usually the best. To save the best for last.
Right, yeah. Well, we'll go with that. Right?
I'm the last of seven, so I can say that. Anyway, yeah, that's your big takeaway. Pork shoulder leftovers. Of course, doing this ghost kitchen is teaching me how to reuse some things. And you end up with a butt or two at the end of the day. And so my daughter Maggie gave me this idea for a pulled pork quesadilla.
Mm.
And people love them. I don't get it. But it's just to me, I don't know.
Well, tell us how you make them, because I can tell you how I made it, and it was wrong. So you, I'm going to
That's all right.
To you.
At least you're man enough to fess up. So just take a flour tortilla. You get a flat top, whether you have a big grill you put on top of your grill or if you do it in the kitchen, doesn't matter.
Griddle, whatever.
Yeah, griddle.
Cast iron
yep,
pan.
Yep.
Any of that.
And so you do a throwdown. You put some good EVO. I would use Olive Garden, Old World Olive Garden.
Old World Olive
Old
Company.
Old World Olive Company's. I'd use their garlic.
Or lime. Either one of those is good. I've done them with lime.
And do your... have you? I could tell.
No, no, tortillas. not quesadillas, but tortillas. For breakfast, mostly. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
It was still a comic situation.
Yeah.
Do that shell. Throw some mozzarella on there. Maybe throw some queso cheese if you like, but I'm telling you, the mozzarella works better. And the Mexican chefs I talk to all do that. They use mozzarella, believe
right.
it or not.
That's glue.
So they're secretly Italian.
Right, yeah. But it's glue that holds it together.
It is.
So what are you putting on there?
And then you throw a little pulled pork on there.
while you got your skillet hot or your griddle, you roll some yellow corn on there and just get it toasted up a little bit. I put a little cilantro. I put a little squeeze of some of that. You turned me on to this sweet pepper sauce from Frank's. It's
right.
It's a sweet pepper, beautiful thing. Or you can put regular barbecue sauce on there, but I happen to like that one. My wife loves it. And then you throw, let's see, corn, pulled pork, cilantro.
Cheese.
Grilled red pepper, grilled onion.
Right.
Fold that baby over. You don't have much time. You right. can't be, bending your elbow too many times.
The key's in the fold.
Yeah.
You take it's round and you only fold it in half. You don't come left to right and right to left and make a burrito. That is not the way you do it.
Randy's fessing up on his first one. And that's when I knew you never had one before. Right. Anyway.
It was a burrito, not a quesadilla.
Yeah, that's right. So quesadilla, they fold it in half. You take a pizza cutter or a pizza knife, if you have the big round knives, and you cut it into four wedges, three wedges, six, however many you want. You stack it on the plate, and you take some of that barbecue sauce or whatever and do a little pretty little
drizzle
design over the top, throw a little cilantro on it, and you bring it out, and people go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and it's simple.
And that's a redneck quesadilla. Yeah,
and if you they've got different kinds of tortillas, too, so if you want to jazz it up, you can get some that maybe got a little jalapeno something like that.
I did like the those authentic ones I used recently, but typically you're going to use just a large flour tortilla shell.
And you grill it because, one, you want the cheese to melt, but, two, you want to give it a little color.
It's got to be crispy.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. Really good.
My kids
really
eat the heck out of quesadillas.
Right.
I mean.
Mine do, too, man. I've been making them for years.
They order from Sabor Mexicano, which is in the same ghost kitchen I'm in, and that's really what gave me some confidence to try it. And the public seems to like
pulled pork is, you know, every time you make pulled pork, you don't make a little, you make a whole butt.
Yeah.
Right. And so you got 9-10 pounds of
or
it.
Or 10.
Right. And yeah. And you feed everybody and then there's always some left over. This is a great leftover idea. Easy to do. Heat up the pork again and you're good
when you're
to go.
Heating that up, get some of that. Don't use chicken broth. Use vegetable broth. It's in the same carton, same area of the grocer. Works wonderful to hydrate that pulled pork.
Yeah. Well, hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Network and Jethro FM. I hope you have just a portion of the fun that we do putting this thing together. It's a labor of love, but it's just that. We look forward to doing this each week, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
If you appreciate us, we appreciate you.
Right. All right. Take care, be safe, and fire up a grill. We'll talk with you next week.